culmination of the enemy trying to come in, but God's people saying, not today. And I think that's what you're experiencing today. I know that's what I'm experiencing today. The enemy trying to raise up his arm, and God's people saying, we will not have you messing with our church, our people, our emotions, our minds today. So as we move on in the rest of the service, let's just be in that attitude of prayer, that constant attitude of prayer. Before we get started, though, I want to just give honor where honor's due. Some of you know Pastor Richie's been writing a book, and he is, I think, are you finished with the book? You finished? Almost. He's shaking his head a little bit. Finished with the book. But this book is all about teaching people how to play free, how to live free, even under whatever circumstances you're in, whatever bondage you feel like you're in. There is always freedom in Christ Jesus. And so this book that he has written, I believe, is prophetic. I believe it's for today. I believe it's for the church. And I believe it's for sinners who need to get saved and people who need to see Jesus. And as a result of that, somehow in a God weird moment, a couple of those chapters were seen by a publishing company, and they wrote back immediately to Richie and said, we want to give you a contract to publish your book. And so Pastor Richie's book is going to be published and is that much closer. And I'm so proud of you, because I know that's actually your second book that you've written. His first book, weirdly enough, he said it wasn't right. The first book he wrote, weirdly enough, he was probably six chapters in, and all of a sudden it was gone. Gone. Completely gone. Gone off a cloud. Gone off of everything. Gone. And so I think the Lord was just trying to get that one out of the way, and let's move forward with what I really want to speak to the body of Christ. And so so I'm really excited, and I'm really excited for you guys to read that book. Isn't it good to be in God's house today? It is good to be in the house of God today, church, because all around the world, people don't have what we have, and they don't have the freedom that we have, and they don't have the luxury to be able to declare the name of Jesus and to tell people about the goodness of God and the love of Jesus, but we get to do that every day of our life. We don't face persecution for that. There are people all over the world that face persecution for that. And not only that, but they're in tyranny right now. And there are people that are suffering. And if you hang with me till the end of my message, I'm going to tell you how our church is personally going to be called in this season to help. So stay with me. Stay with me. Before I get started, I want to pray. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your presence that's here. God, I thank you that no weapon formed against this church shall prosper. God, no weapon formed against your people today is going to prosper. I thank you that we're going to rise up with faith, that we're going to rise up with victory, Father God. I thank you that we are going to be called and take our place in history, God, because you've called us for this season. And I thank you that we are not going to shrink back. We're not going to cower back, God, but that everything we do and say today is going to give honor and glory to you, God, and it's going to advance your kingdom and further what you have placed for us to do on this earth. And we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Last week, Richie started the series about fearless, and he was giving us a synopsis of 2 Timothy. And some of you might be like, why didn't we start in 1 Timothy? Because we felt like the Lord called us to start in 2 Timothy. So we're starting in 2 Timothy. And so the series is fearless. And last week, Richie challenged us, and he really talked about some of the things that Paul was doing when he was writing this letter. And this is his very last letter, or this whole book is the very last letters that he would ever write to Timothy, his mentor. And he's pouring into Timothy, and he's telling him all of these things that he needs him to know. Like, these are my last days on earth. I need you to get this above everything else. These are the most important things. And I think when someone's on their dying bed or deathbed and they're dying, we need to take note of what they're saying, because there's some real truth to that, real truth to that, not delusional. They've had years to look back over their life. And I've had many opportunities to sit with people and pray with people who are close to their deathbed, if not on their deathbed. And my ears are always acutely tuned into what they say on their deathbed. Here's what I need you to know. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. Tim, here's what I need you to know. And he talks about how God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And that's a big one. He also tells him, Tim, fan into flames. fan into flames the calling that's on your life. I saw it in your grandmother. I saw it in your mom, and I saw it in you. And we laid hands on you, and we confirm that you are called by God. And there are some of you in this room, all of you in this room, I declare in faith, have been called by God. Fan into flames those things that he's put inside of you, those gifts that he's put inside of you. You are not an accident. You were never created as an accident. Oh, that happened in utero. No, it was intentional. You are intentionally made. He knit you together uniquely in your mother's womb. You are not disabled. You are abled by God. Abled by God. Last week, Richie said, if you are so woke that you can't speak truth, that you're living in darkness. And that rang true for me. Because what I try to do is I try to not water down the gospel, but make it palatable for people. The problem with that is that it censors me. It censors me. And what it does is it creates bondage. And like Paul was telling Timothy, you're not censored. You're called. Do what I've asked you to do. Do what God has asked you to do. Take up the mantle and run in the way that he's called you to run. And church, that's our mandate today. We have to still take up our mark in history. We've been called for this season of time. The world has a really nice way of telling us that we have 70 plus years. You know, we go to college and we get a job and, you know, and then we start working and have a couple kids. You know, this whole beautiful life that we laid out. And the problem is that God says, I have all that for you. Plus, I would really just love for you to rescue people from hell. I would just really love for you to rescue people from hell. Along the way, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour out things upon you. But I need you to walk through some tough seasons. I need you to walk through some stuff because we're doing something. And I think a lot of times in the body of Christ, we forget that we are still called to be on mission. We're still called to do what he's asked us to do. We still have something on the earth that we've been placed here to do. And if we get caught up in all the other stuff, our target cards, you know what I'm saying? Like living our nice life. If we get busy doing civilian things, we forget that we are still soldiers of Christ. And that's what he talks about in 2 Timothy. He talks about us being good soldiers, not caught up in affairs of this world, but being on mission and being focused. As Paul was dying, essentially, he's writing to Timothy, and scholars believe that scholars believe that Paul and Timothy's relationship was about 20 years. This wasn't a new mentorship. This was something that had been going on for 20 years. He had been mentoring him. And I started thinking about Paul and Timothy, and I started thinking about the people that God has allowed me to be able to mentor and to pour into and spend time with. And I started thinking about my friend Jess. Jess is Maria's daughter. I met her when she was in high school. Rich and I were high school. At the time, we were only dating when I met Jess, but we were her high school pastors. And Jess is one of the most amazing, if you've ever met her, she's one of the most amazing, bubbly, like she just exudes joy. It's just who she is. And it was crazy because Richie had asked us to, every leader, pick a child that you're going to mentor. I want you to mentor this kid, pour into this kid. And they gave us the curriculum. And so I said, I want to mentor Jess. I want to mentor Jess, partly because there was something inside of her that I wanted her to teach me about. Yeah, I'll do my best to teach her about the Bible, but I really want what she's got. I want that joy of the Lord. And so Jess and I started in this mentorship, and it was formal, right? Because we had the curriculum. The curriculum was terrible. It's so Calvinistic, very liturgical, so cold. If you're a Calvinist, I apologize. You know, you're better than us. You're elect. You're going to heaven. It's fine. So we're in this thing, and it really caused Jess and I to kind of dig into the love of God. And it honestly pushed us towards the love of God, which I thought was so interesting because we were both just so in love with Jesus. And as the years have gone on, Jess and I have consistently maintained that friendship, and it looks a little different now. We're both married. We both have kids. But at one point in time, Jess was my running coach, and we used to run the bridges in Clearwater, and we would pray with each other and cry with each other while we're running and, you know, just praying and living life together. And I thought about Paul and Timothy when I was thinking about this message, and I'm thinking, man, if I was in Paul's situation, what would I want to tell Jess? What would I write to her? And what is so amazing to me is when I think about it, I don't think I would have written like Paul wrote. I think I would have complained. I think I would have wrote notes about how this really is terrible. Like, I can't believe I'm in here. I did what God asked me to do, and I'm suffering. I think it might have looked like that. And I'm wondering, in the body of Christ, do we do that? Do we spend years of our life that maybe we walk through a difficult season, but we just infantilize that season? We make it a bigger thing than what it is. It was a season. We had to walk through it. It was difficult and it was hard. But did we get stuck in that season? Or were we able to recognize, this is just a season, Lord? You're teaching me in this time frame, and that who am I going to be able to minister to out when I come outside of this? Because that's honestly where we are, church. That's what he's called us to do. So I'm thinking about all of these things in my mind. I'm thinking about how God has called us all. And I want to start in 2 Timothy 2 and 1. And it says, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. The grace that God gives you. Right off the bat, he tells him, walk in grace. And that word grace, here's what it actually means: divine enablement. Divine enablement. He doesn't say, hey, Tim, I know you're able, so walk in your abilities. He says, I actually want you to walk knowing that you're not able to do this. You are not able to do what God has called you to do. I know, I'm sitting in prison right now because of it. You are not going to be able to rely on your ability, so you are going to have to rely on the grace of God. Church, we have to rely on the grace of God to stay anchored into what he's called us to. We have to, because we cannot do it without him. We are disabled, truly. We truly are, all of us, because no one has what it takes to walk through this life without the grace of God. Yeah, that is for sure, isn't it? Man. The second thing is this. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 10, it says, verse 3 says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, so I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. The second thing we got to do, church, we got to endure. We got to be able to endure. And that word endure in these two verses means to suffer patiently. Suffer patiently. It doesn't say you might. It says you're going to. You're going to have to learn to sit in it, church. And that's something that we don't shy away from here. We talk about it all the time. We talk about endurance because it's key. And what endurance does, when you run with endurance, you deny your emotions. Not that you don't recognize I have emotions in the situation. This is disturbing to me. I don't like it. But what you can do is you can say, I know I'm sad, but I can still keep moving. I know I'm disappointed, but I still keep moving. I know my calling doesn't look like and didn't unfold the way that I thought it was going to, but I'm not going to get bored. I'm going to keep moving in what God's called me to do. I'm not going to quit and back up because I don't see it happening how I want it to happen. I'm able to move forward and say, no, okay, I'm just going to keep going into what God has for me, because he knows something I don't know. We didn't know 2020 was going to look like the way that it looked. We didn't know that. Could you imagine if we would have quit, gave up, and not moved forward into what God had for us? If we were stuck in our house, isolated, not doing anything, not out? What would you look like? We're 2 years into this thing. We have to learn endurance. We have to learn to move forward. One of our phrases that pays around here is we do hard things. We do hard things. We say it a lot. And I had an opportunity to talk to Kristen Osborne this week about her sweet baby girl who is at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. And Cam had a 2 or 3 day training where it's basically like they just try to break them down mentally, emotionally, physically. And she said, can you pray for her? Yes, I will pray. So we prayed. And she said, you know what's funny, Misty? They give them hats to wear during this training, right? And they have them write something inspirational on the inside of the hat so that when they're really in the midst of hell, that they can look up and see whatever's written on the inside of their hat. And she said, you know what Cam wrote on her hat? We do hard things. There should be a picture. I don't know if it's going to go up there, but there should be a picture. But church, does it look like we endure in that way? So much so that in everything that we do, we remind ourselves, man, this situation is hard, but I do hard things. Man, this situation doesn't feel fair, but God is faithful. So I can stay in it. And that's a mark of a true believer, someone who can endure, who knows what it looks like to endure, to suffer patiently. Church, do people know you by that? Do they know, man, that person can take a lot. There's been a lot thrown at that person. They don't quit. They don't give up. They stay in it. They're faithful. I think that's what God's called us to do. The third thing, 2 Timothy 2:15, it says this, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and correctly explains the word of truth. The third thing is we got to work hard. We got to work hard. Nobody is going to give you anything in life. I'm sorry. If you are under the age of 25 years old, I'm going to be truthful with you. No one is going to give you anything in life. You're going to have to work for every single thing that you value. You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to work for it. And as Christians, as believers, we have to be people who are willing to work hard and be disciplined with what there's that hat right there. That's her hat. But that's what we have to be willing to work hard and to be disciplined. That is not easy. Look at that sweat all over that hat. But she's willing to work hard. You know why? And the same thing that Paul tells Timothy, you were called. Remember your calling, walk in endurance, and then work hard. Be disciplined with what God has called you to do. Don't give up. Don't shrink back. Don't be lazy. Parents, Richie and I were youth pastors for 12 years before we did this. Parents, please teach your children the value in working hard. It will pay, I promise you, it will pay dividends in their life later on, because they will learn that if I'm going to put seed into the ground, one day I'm going to see a harvest from that. I don't just sit around and wait for a harvest to come. So that when they come to church and they sit in church and someone says, would you like to serve? They say, why? Why? Why would I serve? Just serve me. We've not been called to consume. We've been called to minister to people. And we got to be able to do that, church. Work hard. Be diligent in that. Teach your kids the value of, man, I remember what it was like. I was telling my kids, they're like, do you know Starbucks is paying $17 an hour? I was like, well, did you see gas prices? Because $17 an hour is like $6.50 an hour, yeah. Right? So it equals out. Because what did we make? Like $3.50 an hour? $4.50 an hour, right? When we started off, it teach them the value of what it means to work hard. And I have a bill that I have to pay, but I came up short today. So I got to get up tomorrow. I got to work like a dog to pay my bills. Why? Because you're teaching them to stop consuming and start contributing. And that's important. We want to bypass, like, Lord, let us speak in tongues for 10 hours a day. You know what I mean? But, okay, you could do that, but then we need you to get to work. Right? because we need to be a good steward of what God has given us. One of the things that Richie and I experienced is several years ago, we were on staff at a church, and we had a lot of construction that we had to get done. And so there was a lot of things that, you know, a lot of moving parts, a lot of people involved in that. And I can remember the team that was working, they would come in after hours and they would work until like real late at night, like, you know, 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning they were working. And so Richie would work all day, and then he was pastor on staff, right? Work all day. And then he would come home, eat dinner, get changed, and then go back to church and work all night long. And one of the guys said, "We've never seen a pastor work with us. We've only seen a pastor delegate to us and then come back when the job was done." And that spoke volumes to that guy, because you had somebody who was willing to work. "I've asked you to do it, but I want to work with you in that process." And that's so important, church. It's so important for us. I know I'm hitting hard, but that's really important. The last thing is this, 2 Timothy 2 and 22. It says, "Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure heart." The fourth thing is that we have to run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Run from it. It'll take you out. And you don't think I'm telling the truth? Look at the life of David. We've talked a lot about David today. He was called by God. Oh man, he endured some hardship, some difficulty. He worked hard. What took him out? Lust. Youthful lust. If you don't think that the enemy is crouching, waiting to tempt you with something that is very appealing to your flesh, you are mistaken. That there is always a trap for the enemy ready for you to the side if you step out of the will of God. Always run from it. Recognize it. Know where your bent is to. Know where your eyes try to divert and try to move. Watch out for that scheme of the enemy. Walk in discernment, church. This is where discernment becomes so key, because sometimes we think we've mastered something, so we get haughty. And we forget that that thing is the very thing that can take you out. Recognize that, church. Recognize that. Band, if you wouldn't mind coming up, please. So we're going to walk in grace. We're going to walk in divine enablement from God. We're going to learn to patiently suffer. We're going to be on mission. We're going to work hard, and we're going to run from those things that cause us to drift our eyes away from Christ, to divert our attention away from what he's called us to do. So I want to ask you today, how is God encouraging you today? In what area of your life do you need to drill down into and focus on? Okay, Lord, I see this. When I was reading this chapter, I was convicted on a couple of different things. I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to get it right here. I need to do a better job in this area. How is he encouraging you today? What is he calling you to do? One of our core values is serve the world. My friend has family who lives in the Ukraine, and they need help. And they're currently in Poland, but they need to get to Germany. And the situation in Poland, you know, is destabilizing. It's like 1.4 million people have migrated to that situation, and it's not stable there. And they have a bigger family. And so God opened up a door for us to be able to help this family get to Germany. So that's what we're going to do. It seems insignificant, right? It seems like, well, it's really insignificant. But this is a QR code. If you want to give towards this family, you're more than welcome to. I think there's some pictures up there. She sent me some pictures of her family. I personally like pictures because it shows a face with a name, but it also gives me something to pray about. And so this QR code is going to be up here now. It's also going to be up at the end of service, but we have an opportunity to help this family. And one of the things I love about this is that I asked her, I said, do they need food? What do they need? She goes, really, we just need diapers. We need money for diapers and for food. And then we're gonna do everything we can to get from Poland to Germany. And I love the fact that we get to help in this way, because I love the practical. I love the practical. There's a lot of things we can give to a lot of organizations, but it may not help this family. But the community chapel in Largo, Florida gets to help a family, come on church, in the Ukraine who has nothing left. They have nothing left. And we get to be part of, even in some tiny small way, showing them the love of Jesus. And one of the things I love about this is that I don't know if these people are saved. But I know this, that if we get an opportunity, I get to say, we get to say, that God loves you this much that he'll come after you. Isn't that amazing? Just think about that. On the other side of the world, the Lord still cares about them. He still is willing and able to rescue and to run after people. And this family is so sweet and so special. They had to, unfortunately, the grandma had to leave there. And she was telling me her story, but they found someone who's willing to help her. She can't travel. Can you imagine being in this situation, church? The fact that we get to help, man, it does something good to my heart. So if you would consider blessing this family, you are more than welcome. But this is one of the ways that we feel called to serve the world. And how amazing that one day, hopefully, we're in the same family of Christ and we get to share the gospel with them. Wouldn't that be amazing? Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for this day. God, I thank you for each person represented in this place today. God, I thank you that you've called us to run with endurance. Lord, you've given us grace, your divine enablement, God, to walk through every season of life that you've called us to. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to take our place in history, God. Lord, I thank you we've been created for this time, for this purpose, Lord. I pray we would not forget that, God. Lord, please don't let us get distracted by the things of this world. Lord, keep our mind fixed and focused on you. Keep our thoughts anchored to you, God. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the ability to help this family in the Ukraine. God, we pray for your protection over their lives. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would rescue them, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, even now, God, that you're going to be ministering angels would go to them, Father God. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you that around them they may see chaos, God, but inside, Lord, you're going to give them peace that passes all understanding. And Father, I just praise you and I thank you for this opportunity. God, I pray we wouldn't squander it. Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for getting them to where they need to be in safety. Father, I pray their children would be protected. God, we come against every assignment of the enemy to distract, to detract, Father God, to kill, to steal, to destroy, and we call it null and void. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering in this season. And God, for your church, Lord, that we would rise up, Lord. Cause us to take our place. Cause us to see the victory on the other side of this season, God. Lord, I pray that we would not waste one opportunity that you've given us, God, to snatch people from the mouth of hell. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for this church. God, I thank you for even now, Holy Spirit, for the people who are sleeping in. God, I pray you would wake them up, God, stir their hearts, Father God, to seek you today. Lord, you've called us, you've equipped us. God, we just thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.